And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us pray. We pray, Lord, that as our hearts turn at this time to Calvary, we may be quickened anew by the truth of thy Holy Spirit, what and why thou wast willing to give thyself for poor, helpless sinners like us, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Amen. Jesus was nailed to the cross at the sixth hour, which is high noon, the brightest time of the day for sunshine. And yet as soon as he was nailed to the cross, the sky went as black as midnight and remained that way for 3 whole hours. I have heard that this strange event was caused by a solar eclipse. I experienced a solar eclipse once when I was in the Navy, stationed in Naples. I didn't even know it was coming, and it was about midday, and the sun turned into midnight. And what was very strange about it was a warm Italian day and a cold wind started blowing. So it was like midnight at midday with a cold wind blowing. So I can get an idea of how mysterious this event must have been when our Lord was nailed to the cross. The whole eclipse lasted only about 4 minutes, but it gave me an idea what this mysterious darkness must have felt about on Good Friday. Was this caused by an eclipse? I've heard it said it was. But astronomers tell us the longest a solar eclipse can last is 7 minutes and 31 seconds. This is hostility to miracle. The God who made all things can also do what he wants with what he made. This is clearly a miracle. I haven't heard anybody yet claim the 3 days of utter darkness in Egypt during the plagues was a solar eclipse. Finally, at 3 p.m, our Lord, who's been hanging on the cross for 3 hours in total darkness, in mortal agony, cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the first words, as I'm sure you know, of Psalm 22, which is such an accurate description of our Lord's crucifixion. These are the first words of the psalm. And this prophecy talks of Christ as saying, I can tell on my bones, they look and stare upon me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And in which he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'd like to consider 2 things about this cry of anguish. First is, how could Christ be forsaken? The second is, why was Christ forsaken? First, how could Christ be forsaken? The reason I ask this is because Christ is eternal God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So how can God forsake himself? This reminds me of the young German lad in his 20s we brought to Christ when I was a missionary in Spain. And he did what new converts always did, hungrily read his Bible, and he said to me, so for 3 days there are only 2 people, only 2 persons in the Trinity, because Christ was dead. Well, no, his eternal essence as God was never forsaken and never died. In his divine nature, Christ is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And he was never forsaken. But we have to remember, he added to himself a true body and reasonable soul, a genuine human nature, which could indeed be forsaken. Christ has two distinct natures in one person. For all eternity, he's been infinite God. For the last 2,000 years, he's added to himself a human nature. In his divine nature, Christ knew everything. The Pharisee would be thinking something negative about him. If this man were really of God, he wouldn't have. And Jesus would address them with what they were thinking, because he could know what they were thinking, knew everything as God. And yet as man, he didn't know the time of the second coming. As Christ, as God, is of infinite power. But as a man, he was weary and weak and hungry and could die. As God, Christ fills the universe. But as man, he's confined to a physical body, though now glorified. So how could he be forsaken? He could be forsaken because God can and does forsake people. Just think of Noah's flood. A lot of people were forsaken then. Second, why was Christ forsaken? We know that he was forsaken for a period of time because he said he was. I heard a preacher on the radio just the other day, and he was talking about this very text. And this was a charismatic fellow, so he has insight that, you know, only the Holy Ghost gives him. So he said, I was pondering over this, and I got the strongest witness in my spirit that God didn't forsake his son. Really? How come it says he did? He says, the reason I got that, I thought, I could never forsake my son. Well, I'm sure that's true. I could never have my son beaten, crowned with thorns, and nailed to a Roman cross. But God the Father did. Because he was forsaking his son for a period of time. Now, why did he do that? Because Jesus was bearing the guilt of our sins. You know, you and I deserve to be forsaken forever. That's why he had to be forsaken, so we would not be. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ wasn't made morally sinful, that's impossible, but he was made legally sinful when our sins were put on his record and he had to die the punishment they deserve. We deserve to be forsaken by God, but Jesus was forsaken in our place. So as terrible as it may seem that our Lord was actually forsaken at Calvary, it's only because of that, you and I will never be forsaken. What did Jesus say just as he was leaving earth? I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Amen. We do confess, O mighty God, that we deserve to be forsaken because of our manifold sins and wickedness. And we thank thee that thou didst love us enough to send thy Son. And he loved us enough to give his life for us, to be forsaken for us, that we would be forgiven of all our trespasses and never, ever forsaken. Amen.